10 seconds later, everywhere is shh. Now I just turned to the board and I deliberately dropped my voice. And I really start teaching. Don't think I'm joking. I continue. I don't break it. I'm telling you, in a few seconds, everywhere is quiet. I think the Lord has something like that in mind to teach this man a lesson. He said, continue talking as if nothing was happening. In desperation, just like my students would start quieting themselves down. He said, he shouted at the spirit, hush in the name of Jesus. And the spirit just shut up and fell down. And he looked at the Lord like, did you see that? So he drove the spirit out of there. I believe the Lord permitted it for certain reasons. He said, God told him, he said, the Lord now told him that if he had not done something about that, I couldn't have done anything. He said, he put a finger in his ear and said, no, I didn't hear that right. You mean you would not have done anything? He said, I could not have done anything. He said, no, I'm sure I've been drinking. Now I'm adding my own to it, all right? I'm sure I'm imagining things. No, you said you would not have done anything. He said, he raised his voice and said, I said, I could not have done anything. He said, please, dear Lord, I want some scriptural proof. This is not good. Now, I'm bringing out some principles here. And not now, I'm not going to talk about everything they discussed, but just to help you to understand this. It is a fact. God said, the authority on this earth, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. I was thinking the other day, now, I may be wrong in this, but when the Bible talked about the decree of the watchers, I had an impression it was talking about human beings. When we're talking about judgment that came over Babylon, let me tell you something. Human beings operate different levels on this earth. Do you get the point I'm making? There are people you will never find out who they were. Reverend Kola told me something yesterday, that the Lord told him something at a point in time. That you see, as a minister, one thing you must first learn is how not to gun for fame. How not to gun for popularity. He said most of the men who served the Lord well and died after in serving God became famous only after they had died. God looked at it and ensured that there was no... Look, he said even Paul, it was telling me that last night, he said even Paul never knew his letters would be immortalized. He just wrote letters. You get my point? It's like I travel and I say, Kingsley, please, I will not be around next Saturday. Read this email that I'm sending you to those who will come on Saturday. Do you follow my point? The only place where Paul was popular was in the spirit realm. It was only the demons that knew about him. So everywhere, if he had come to Africa at that time and say, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches, the demons would say, ah, we have last conference we went for in the bottom of the Atlantic, we heard about that troublemaker. Are you following my point? Most other people did not know him. Now, I'm bringing up a point here that men like that are usually... I don't know. I'm not very sure about this. I don't know why I'm even saying this. But there's a reason why I felt like that. Because it appeared like, you know, Jesus said something, the Father judges no man, but he has given all judgment over to the Son. You don't get my point. That is, those days, if Jesus looked and said, this city, you guys are crazy. Madmen will start coming out of there, 20 a day. That was why he told his disciples, he said, you don't know the kind of spirit that you have. There's something I want to understand. When those men went and said, let us call fire from heaven on these people. He didn't say that, ha, Peter, you think too much about yourself. Which kind of power is there? Where you get that from? You know, he didn't say that. He said, no, you don't understand the kind of spirit that you have. That if the Lord has said, go ahead, another generation of Sodom and Gomorrah don't happen with that, fire will literally have begun to rain. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That was why it was so crucial for him to make that statement. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's because he said, the Father judges no man. He has committed all judgment to the Son. I don't want to digress too much. Maybe these are Saturday messages. But listen, in the body of Christ, if we start judging ourselves well, all this noise we are making about PDP, ANPP, Muslim and all that, if we just join hands and say, woe betide all of them, people will start dropping down dead like this. But the problem God has is that the man who wants to judge, when they brought the woman caught in the very act of adultery, he said, those of you without sin, throw the first stone. That if of all you men here, any one of you that can swear that he has never committed adultery, and I don't mean in his heart, oh, I mean in his flesh, let him throw the first stone. I'm not talking about those who didn't steal. You want to stone her? No trouble. But please, judgments must be done by those who are not guilty of the offense. All the men, he's only recognized the woman. He said, I know this woman from somewhere. And drop their stone worker. What am I trying to say? We cannot punish corruption in the nation because we are essentially very corrupt ourselves. So we buy newspaper and abuse. God is looking and say, hey, this judgment you're asking for, if I were to start, evangelists and pastors still go. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, we'll leave that side. Now, I'm explaining something here, that the authority, are you getting my point? To pronounce judgment over these cities, to rule over these cities, the master went and acquired the kingdom and started distributing to his servants. You are following my point? In the same manner, we were reading about Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 5. So all the honor and glory and wisdom and power, he said, I have received it. Now I'm sitting in judgment and calling my servants one after the other. I give each person a season of training. I allow him be exposed to the temptations of the world. I give him a gift. I give him a talent. I give him money. I tell him, go and do business with this. And this is something about God. He teaches you how to do it before he sends you out. Because these guys didn't just come up from the city. They were his born servants. They were slaves that had been trained in his house. Do you follow the point I'm making? They were the ones he called and said, go and do this. So according to, as each man had learned the instructions of the master and is carrying them out, he is bringing forth results. Do you get my point? Now, when that had been demonstrated by the income they brought out of the single mina that he gave each one, he now began to distribute for them cities. And he said, he had worked, he has suffered, and left us an example that we should walk in his footsteps. What was Jesus Christ saying there? That what Peter was trying to explain. That anybody who we have authority on the earth, I don't know why I keep on coming back to us. That's supposed to just be about the Lamb of God. But I just want you to understand that when we're talking about the Lamb of God, it has not ended. There are lambs of God around. Do you understand my point? But the amount of authority, the amount of wisdom, the amount of power that they will receive is decided by how God judges their works. Do you understand the point I'm making here? Are you getting me clearly? So when you have now received it, it is according to that you now begin to uphold all things or whatever is that your own area by the word of the power you have received. It's not by the word of confession that desires a hammer tomorrow. Are you following my point? I said that all this, confess. Look, if it's sin you are confessed out of your life, it is good. If you are trying to confess good character into your soul, it is good. If it's because you want a new this, a new car, a husband, a wife, a this, a that, when you keep on talking like that, it's a sign that you really don't believe. Do you understand my point? My car is downstairs. I think I'm sure my car is downstairs. All right? But I've not told you since until the issue came up about it now. You know that? I would have only responded if they asked me, how are you going home? I would have said, my car is downstairs. You are getting my point? So plenty talk. Apparently, you have not yet believed. You know, I've not introduced to you since that my wife is sitting down here. I'm sure. If I won't even tell you my wife is here, I'll just go after because I am sure. But we say, Pastor Bank, where's your wife? Okay, that's my wife. You know why? I'm sure. It's people like Kingsley will be saying that in Jesus' name, my wife is around. In Jesus' name. We know that there's no wife. That is why he's talking like that. Now I'm saying that he was now talking about upholding things by the word of his power. Are you following my point? That his power he first receives is not the one that he desires. You are getting me? Now let's remain on this Lamb of God matter. So to qualify to be Lamb of God, he had to consciously, you get my point, lay down his life. He said, nobody has taken it away from me. I lay it down of my initiative and I take it up again. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father. I'm explaining a point here that when a man, you know, it is not a sign that you are heading for Lamb of God's sheep. You understand my point? When you always escape from where things are tight. Do you get my point? There are times you take decisions because you have a goal in mind. I told that life, he said, when we're talking about laying down life, it's not necessarily dying. Dying is the ultimate of it. But there are things in life that constitute whether you love your life or you don't. You are following the point I'm making? I'm saying there are criteria. Actually, it's Jesus Christ I wanted to emphasize and focus on. But I just keep on getting dragged into this fact that we have been called also to walk in the same manner in which we walked. We have been called to walk in his footsteps. He said that he suffered, that we also will suffer with him. And Paul said that there is something that is lacking. Let me explain that again. That is, when God wants to bless mankind by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the whole world. But the sin of the world is still plaguing them. So Paul said, the reason is because there is what is lacking, all right, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that each person will do his own part in filling that. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if you are talking about, let's say, diseases all over the earth, it is part of the things that the Lamb of God took away. But the Lamb of God looks at it and said, this is their healing. I bought it. I paid for it. It is here with me. But I cannot do anything on the earth because I don't live there anymore. Are you following me? He said, but I have what the Bible calls a prolongation of his days. My body on the earth. It is them I will give the power to heal to. But before I do that, all right, I have to look out and decide how I'm going to distribute that power. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? I told you, far be it from the Almighty to do wickedly. He doesn't do wickedly. If he doesn't do something for people on the earth, there is a real reason why he hasn't done it. If people pray, Nigeria, Nigeria, our country, you pray and you have not yet seen manifestation of your prayer, there is certainly something that is out of place, that has not been put in place, and is supposed to be put in place by the lambs of God that are supposed to take away the sins of the country. I don't know whether you are getting my point. You are getting the point I'm making. So you see, it's not that Jesus had not taken it away. He has. What he took away, that is the solution, the taking of it away, has been bought. It's in his hand. But to have effect on the earth, people must walk in his footsteps and then receive that power and then use the word of their power to uphold all things. I hope you are getting my point. All right, I don't want to speak for too long today. I think I basically made the point I'm making today. Let me just review something and then maybe use that one to add one or two points and then we'll be out of here. Remember what I've been trying to explain is that God is sovereign. That was talking about sovereignty of God and the Lamb of God. That it doesn't mean that God just said, this person has been anointed and there is nothing that can go wrong. He will be the one to do the job. No, he said, many are called. I have called many people like that, but they don't always do what is necessary to qualify for that place. I said something that the power of God is not a rogue power. It's not a power that breaks rules anyhow. Yes, God has designed certain things to be done. He wants to redeem mankind. But somebody must qualify as a redeemer of mankind. Do you understand? I dare to say this. Moses may not have been the first person that God tried to save to deliver the children of Israel. I'm not saying he was not. I'm saying the other guys who failed, you never read about them. Isaiah may not have been the first that God said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Maybe not. But you will not read about the other ones. Do you understand my point? You know, there are stories I don't want to tell for certain reasons, but let me color them small. I have seen people before, and their lives have not ended, so let me see what God is really going to do with them. That they had powerful visions of God. You know what I mean by powerful visions? That was nothing, that even a dull head spiritually can interpret that vision. But the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things, I have seen them take these people away from the call of God. And I keep on asking after these people, where is this man? Where is this person? Where is this other fellow? Are you following my point? Now, when this generation will pass away, let's assume that one or two of them don't ever return back to that call of God. All right? It's only a few people like me that know about it who will have gone also. So nobody will ever hear that story. Are you getting my point? Nobody will ever hear the story. But you hear the story of one man. Ah, when God called him, he was in secondary school. And then he did this, and he did that. You hear that story as if that was the first guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? As if that was the first guy that God called. No, he wasn't. In fact, Catherine Kuhlman used to say that she's persuaded, I don't know whether rightly or wrongly, but she's persuaded that she wasn't the first person that God called to do that job she ended up doing. But that she's sure that there were men, not women, men, that God called, but they were not willing to do the thing necessary. According to her, pays the necessary price. Therefore, God took the anointing and gave to her. So that's what she was sure of. I don't know whether it's true, but the principle is clear. Are you following my point? Those guys, if they really exist or existed, you and I will never find out. But we'll keep on reading biographies of Catherine Kuhlman. There will be at least 10 different biographies, all right, in the market. Why? Because she did what was necessary, and that power was given to her. Do you understand the point? So the sovereignty of God doesn't mean that God just does what he likes. No, it doesn't. It means that he has a plan, he has a purpose. But for his plan and purpose to be effective on the earth, people must, notice that word again, consciously lay down their lives. Let me read one scripture and close with that. That would be very good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll just read and I'll close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What I want to read is verse 15, but I always like reading things in context. 14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died and rose again on their behalf." Do you understand that point? That is, this is what God is giving as a standard for Christianity. This is what the Lord is giving. That is, it is not only Jesus that has come as a Lamb of God, but every one of his children has been called into the same ministry. You understand that point? All right. And that this is the manifestation of their answering the call of God. That they no longer live for themselves, but they live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. Next time I'll talk about the life of Jesus Christ. I hope. And what I want to explain about his life is then, you know, I told you that he was made like his brethren in all things apart from sin. So there are two things I want to bring out about out from there. One, the fact that he was like his brethren in all things, that he had to increase in stature, in favor with God and with men. He had to increase in understanding. He had to increase in wisdom. Yeah, that's what I was looking for. He had to increase in understanding. He did not always know things. I just want to bring out in a few minutes a little bit of a progression of the life of Jesus Christ. You will see certain critical points in which revelation came to him concerning what he was supposed to do next. I discussed one with us some time ago. It was when they told him that all nations, that the Gentiles were looking for him. Some Greeks came and said, "Tell Philip, take us to your master." He didn't answer. The moment he heard, he knew the time had come for another phase of ministry. Do you understand my point? You understand the principle? And then the last phase of all began in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was when angels, the Bible said, came and ministered to him. We'll go through that and draw a parallel for our own personal lives. That your life is always in phases. And then, you know, Reverend Kola taught us something. And I was so excited. Because you know why I was excited? Because when a big man confirms some things that he have said, you know you are in line. You understand what I'm going to say? You know, Paul said that after I had preached for about 15 years, and I went to Jerusalem, and I said, "Peter, you know you were there physically. I wasn't. What this thing I'm saying, is it really true? Did it really happen?" Because Paul had gone everywhere, describing that on the night that Jesus died, Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he was not there. You know he wasn't there. He wasn't there. He had described the things that happened. You know, no, really, that account in 2 Corinthians, it was not, is it 1 Corinthians? He wasn't there. He said, by revelation of God, by the revelation of Jesus, I came to know what happened. So after he had gone around telling everybody, he said, "Peradventure, I'll be fooling myself." He said, "Piro, how now? How far? Now come." That night, what really happened? Peter said, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave to all of us. After that, you know, then he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Then he took the cup, and then that was what happened. Okay, I just wanted to be sure. Are you following my point now? Back to what I was saying. So, when the man was explaining some things, he said that in life you cannot really describe your future. You cannot describe what your life will be. And he described Joseph. You know, that has been our own example here also. That the day that Joseph stepped into the courts of Pharaoh, he rose up like any other day. I said, this is right. And if I almost using our own words, he said that faith, that there are so many things you can ask God for and claim by faith, but there are other things that God just brings upon you because you have qualified for them. I said, right on, man. The Lord is good. Are you getting my point? And we've talked about Solomon. That, look, Solomon prayed for one thing and got other things. And I remember the specific words we used, that how many things could you remember to pray for and believe God for? Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, and that's the fact. So I want us to draw that parallel between the life of Jesus Christ and our own personal lives. You will find out that your life is in phases. After he finished preaching, whenever Kola finished preaching, something came to my mind. I realized again, I always knew it, all right? That is, I thought I did, actually. Don't let me say I always knew it. I'm sorry. I thought I knew it, all right? That I know that my life tomorrow, I don't know exactly what it will be, but I know that God is doing something great in my life and all that. But when he finished preaching, I came to realize it again. That all I am doing right now is using my gift. I don't know what God is doing with it. Do you get my point? All I am doing right now is just two things. One, using the gift, the ability, the God-given ability to impart knowledge, all right? And then using it to express, number two, the wisdom and revelation and understanding that he has given me. After that, I go home. We did the messages, we do this, we do that. But what God will do tomorrow, I really don't know. A day might come, you enter into a mount of, in quote, of transfiguration. Some of those times, please, I'm not trying to scare you, you lose your disciples when you come out and say, this is what God has said. I said, yes, man, I don't trust him. And then people will move. It doesn't mean you have missed God. It just means they are not being called along with the next phase of what God is doing. But the true disciples, they usually stay, apart from when things become really, really tight. And they become the real inner core disciples. And Jesus looks at them and says, are you going to? And Peter said, now, well, I'd love to go, but we don't burn our boats. The net has been destroyed. By the way, we came here for the word of eternal life. So to whom shall we go? And the very last one, man, they really went. When the threat, now, are you getting my point? So in your life, a kind of parallel will have to be drawn, which will be easy for you to understand if you know that the Bible says that he was made like his brethren in everything apart from sin. So that the second thing we'll learn, therefore, is how he tackled that matter of sin. Because in being like his brethren, that means he was subject to temptation every point in time. Do you get my point? All right, I think we've learned a few things today. If we have learned something today, say loud amen. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Let us pray.